Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go. Almost 2 minutes past the hour. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. And we are on. We are live. Indeedly, indeedly. We are live for the fifth day of January 2016. And the second broadcast day for The Horn for the new year. It's a right pleasant 63 degrees here in the Horn studio. We got down to single digits last night. It was a little hateful and frigid. But, you know, you're going to have that in January, so I'm not going to complain. Oh, hi. I'm Bob Kincaid. And what we have here is Titanic Tuesday. Titanic Tuesday is that day of the week that we use to celebrate right-wing stupidity, right-wing idiocy, right-wing dumbassery, right-wing attempts at thought. And I have a feeling that, as is always the case, because they never let up, they never take a break, they never take a day off, we're going to be busy this evening. Oh, and I would be remiss if I did not mention that this is, in fact, a listener-supported enterprise, and we're starting 2016 with an old tradition. It's not really an old tradition. We're just starting 2016 in the hole because we had Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge on the table last night, and we finished the evening with $140 to go, and we come into this evening with $130 to go. So basically, what it boils down to is the fundraising hole is at $330. So 10 at 33, 20 at 1650, 1 at 330, 2 at 165, and that's about as far as my ciphering and gazintas will get me right now, but it would be very, very nice, I must admit, for this little effort at independent community-driven broadcasting to not drive drive fundraising into a ditch before the new year is a new week old. So, of course, the PayPal interface is at headonradionetwork.com. And, if you prefer to use the United States Postal Service, as some of you do, and thank you very kindly to Paul for so doing, well, that address for checks and money orders made payable to The Horn, not to Bob Kincaid, as Bob Kincaid never sees the same. That's what Boss Man Wayne deals with. In the echo chamber that is ordinarily Boss Man Wayne puts on his spider-proof gloves and reaches in and sometimes gets the glove shredded right off his hands. But anyway, the address there is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318 Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so that's where we are. That's where we stand. If you'd like to jump into the Horn chat room. It is free and it is easy. It is a real-time multimedia extravaganza that takes place during the live hours of the program every evening or morning, depending on where you are. You can just click on chat room at headonradionetwork.com, and, well, you'll be joining up with Anatole and Jug of Punch and King of Cups and Little Gray and Texas Tea and Tim from L.A., all capably and ably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky. Okie doke, jump in. You'll have a blast. It really is Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. And you might recall that Titanic Tuesday is named for a broadcast morning several years ago now when the right-wing monotone, that's not even monotone enough, is it? No. When the right-wing monotone was blathering on, reading the newspaper to people, causing them to fall asleep and hit phone poles and trees and the like, when one of his mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing faithful jingled him up and said, "Steve, how come you reckon it is that there is seashells in the rocks in West Virginia? We ain't nowhere near the beach. And the earth only 6,000 year old." To which Steve replied, "Well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates." With a degree of certainty that only a moron can possess. Still no word whatsoever on the movement of the Titanic doilies. Mm-mm. And so Titanic Tuesday is a celebration of right-wing idiocy. It's what happens when they try to cogitate. God knows they fail, but it's what happens when they try to cogitate, and we will have several examples of that in the coming evening, as we do every Titanic Tuesday. And where to begin? Where to begin? Let me start with an email. Mm-hmm. Well, that was actually more of a message. Came in via Facebook from a new listener, or new listeners. Uh-huh. I think you'll enjoy this. Oh, where'd it go? No. Well, this will only take a minute. Just a second. There we go. No. Aha. This was a New Year's message. Coming in from Jennifer and Graham. And Jennifer says, "Every New Year we do a sort of alphabet of things people to cherish and events people to never forget. It's more formal, politically oriented, less formal, less intense, depending on our moods. Anyway, this year, your names kept coming up." Yeah, you really are. You're going to love this. A is for the angry Indian, whom we love. B for Bob's amazing, well, I say monologues because really you're in a group addressing a group, while Graham says soliloquy because you're alone, but in my honest opinion, you are by no means alone. C is for the carols, whom we love. Well, you get the drift. You featured heavily in our end-of-year alphabet, so it became obvious to whom our year-end contribution would go. "I have an idea for a challenge," Jennifer says. If you think it'll pan out, let's say I call this the $120 a monthly subscription Kickstarter challenge. Split in four $30 chunks. Offer the next four subscribers their first 3 months free, paid in advance. If it takes off, I could repeat the offer at some point, unless I wonder, could it be a potential bookkeeping nightmare? Anyway, up to you. If you prefer to go ahead and put it toward... Right. So, happy new year with gratitude for your voices, Jennifer and Graham, deep down in Oz. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, Graham. Thank you so very much. These kinds of things... Well, they're deeply inspiring. Indeed, they are. But I love the A, B, and the C. And I love the whom we love part. I think that's just lovely. Just lovely. So thank you. Thank you very kindly. If you want to flesh out their idea, let me know, and we will get it sorted out. It seems more than an interesting way of going forward. And that's very interesting indeed. A kickstart your subscription challenge. Because this is the year, I'm convinced. This is the year that we will reach 400 $10 a month subscribers. That's the goal. Even as I sit here with us at $330 in the hole, this can be the year where we reach 400 subscribers at $10 a month, and I get to shut up about this fundraising stuff every blessed evening. Now, understand, subscribing is how we keep this going. It is not necessarily, but it's not gated access, as it were. This is a non-capitalist community. In other words, when you contribute to the Horn, you're contributing for all the people who can't, don't, and won't. Because that's what keeps this a free community. No charge for podcasts, no charge for the stream, no charge, no charge, no charge, no charge. It's just about providing the information and creating the community and creating the open space for dialogue in which you can participate. Most anybody can. New callers are always welcome. We use the Skype connection so that people can reach the program from anywhere on the planet that their government does not block or firewall off Skype. We've been giving free advertising to Skype for years now. We've never received a payment, nor have we tried to get one from them. No, this is simply an attempt to build community, plain and simple. Now, on to things titanic. Yeah, by the way, an interesting observation coming from Paul. He says, I'm listening to the January 4th podcast right now. I appreciate the analysis from you and Angry Indian regarding those idiots holding the visitor center in Oregon. Where's Ted Koppel when you need him? Day 5, America held hostage. Well, see, if they were Muslims, or, you know, if they were Iranian, or a darker shade of pale. I laughed the other day when Carol Baker told me about one of the names out there for the Hee-Haw Caliphate, namely Yokel Haram, which reminded me of Procol Harum, which reminded me immediately of a whiter shade of pale, because they really are, aren't they? A whiter shade of pale. And not that we're going to get completely trapped in this issue tonight, It's not going to completely take over the show, the program. No. But there are some things to address out of this. Because we're learning more about these freeloading babies who over the years have scammed and milked and grabbed and whatever they could in the way of welfare out of you and me, we the people of the United States, trying to form this more perfect union. We're never going to get it to perfect, but we can make it more perfect. It would be considerably more perfect without these godforsaken, dim-witted, religious fascists who call themselves constitutionalists. You know, they remind me in a way, because everything is an excuse to go wandering around in the fields of the ancient world. All of this, to a certain extent, reminds me of the end of the Republic in ancient Rome. Because the Republic had been dying for a while. And the Republic was also largely a creation of the moneyed class. And remember, a republic is the form of government that was expressly adopted by the framers of the Constitution. Going up into the second century, you know, from the mid second century BCE onward, Rome descended into chaos, Republican chaos, in which the wealthiest among them fought and cut and gouged and stabbed and warred and civil warred and murdered and what have you, in a relentless attempt to gain the reins of power. Now, behind the big names were some very, very wealthy names who were funding all of this. And no matter who was trying to gain power, the cry was always for the Republic. For the Republic, much in the way that left, right, and center, poor people who just deploy the word as some sort of spell casting, describe Merca, the greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever, indivisible, under God, amen, as our democracy. And you have to get kind of breathy about our democracy, and it helps if you can get a little misty about it and talk about the founding fathers, many of whom were slave owners. Ixnay on the Ave Slay. But they did that with the word Republic. And when Pompey was gathering power unto himself and making himself fabulously wealthy, he did so under the guise of defending the Republic. And when it was Caesar's turn and Caesar did it, it was for the Republic. Gaius Marius, at the turn of the century between the second and the first, was consul, first man in Rome. Presumably first among equals, but not so much. Gaius Marius was consul for an unprecedented 7 terms. Sulla came along and declared that he was restoring the Republic by being declared dictator, at which point he ordered the slaughter of thousands, particularly of the wealthiest portion of ancient Romans so as to get his hands on their money. When a couple of brothers named Gaius and Tiberius Gracchus tried to introduce reforms that would feed hungry citizens of the Republic and non-citizens, well, they were murdered. They tried to introduce land reform that would allow actual smallholders to farm a plot of ground and have a survival, not just a subsistence existence, but a survival and prosperity. Yeah, they were murdered for that. And every time there was some massive bloodletting, there would be a cry that it was being done for the Republic. Now, the Republic existed largely in their own imaginations, as it served largely as a stage prop, if you will, for the incredibly wealthy. Not so much difference today. These idiots hoot about the Constitution. I gotta defend the Constitution. Even though most have never read anything more than the Second Amendment there, too. How about the Interstate Commerce Clause there, Cephas?
What? Ain't the Constitution.
Well, what about the definition of treason?
Well, that's one of them laws that was created by that overbearing, jackbooted, tyrannical federal government.
That's in the Constitution, Cletus. How about the court system that interprets the Constitution?
That's unconstitutional. Freedom. Wolverines.
Yeah. Jackasses. The idiots. The common clay of the New West, you know, morons. And they have. They have supped richly off of the federal teat, getting drought subsidies even when there was no drought. Really, there's quite a bit of it. Let's take a look. Because these freedom-loving merkins who don't want no welfare are some of the country's very best at standing around with their hands out. For instance, Ammon Bundy has a guaranteed loan. Now this is the guy who wants the government tyranny off his back. And who is presently sitting out in the bird sanctuary, he got a $530,000 loan from the Small Business Administration in 2010 for a truck maintenance business that he runs in Arizona, and the cost to the taxpayers out of that was more than $22,000 in the Small Business Administration getting behind and guaranteeing that loan for Ammon Bundy, who is being victimized by the tyrannical federal government. Now they also don't like these freedom defenders of constitutional democracy. They don't like the federal government charging them money for grazing their cattle on federal lands. You may recall that was the whole genesis of the Bundy standoff back in Bundyville, when, with no punishment whatsoever, these overprivileged white babies pointed guns at federal agents of you and me, we, the people of the United States, out there working on that aforementioned more perfect union. Well, here's what they're pissing and moaning about. It costs $1.35 a month in 2012. It costs $1.35 in 2012 for each cow who grazed on federal land. On the other hand, if you're grazing your cattle on the land of private owners, they charge $20 per month per cow. So $1.35 a month per cow is what Clive and Bundy was willing to go to war over. Because not only is he an ignoramus, not only is he a big old shiny white privileged baby, not only is he able to tell us a little something about the Negro, he's a goddamn cheapskate who wants it for free. So you and me, us, we the people, we took it on the chin for Clive and Bundy and these other sagebrush revolutionary ranchers to graze their cattle. Now, we the people also leased these freaks grazing land. And we discount it. And that lease discount program costs us anywhere between $52 million to $200 million a year to keep these religious fanatic yokels happy. And even at that, they want it all, and they want it all for free. $26 million a year in the 11 western states for emergency feed programs, even in years that are not affected by drought. And then there are the federal employees who are paid to shoot things like coyotes, predators, that would otherwise kill these poor little innocent ranchers' livestock for them. $22 million for that program for these ungrateful sons of bitches. 163 black bears were killed, 293 mountain lions, 1,928 bobcats, 8,973 foxes, and get this, 85,571 coyotes. Clive and Bundy didn't kill them. Ammon Bundy didn't kill them. Ryan Bundy didn't kill them. John Ritzheimer didn't kill them. The federal government did that for them. And yet these miserable, sorry, low-down, ignorant, dirty, anti-American grumbler babies, well, they've got the tyrannical jackboot of the jackbooted tyrannical federal government right there on their necks, next to the Confederate flag tattoo they got and that other tattoo that says, "Only God can judge me." Yeah, really. And it turns out that they're pretty creepy, too. A lot of these people are religious maniacs. Who are going to raise up their cheerings in the ways of the old West. Kelly sent this along. It's the story of a young man named Dusty Hammond. And no, this isn't hockey puck stuff. This is disgusting child abuse stuff.
Because, you know, out there in the Wild West where freedom is... Oh, God, I hate that voice. But out there in the Wild West where you have to live by your wits when the government ain't writing you a government money check to cover what your wits won't, we raise up our children in the old ways of our fathers and our forefathers. Make them so they'll be good, upright, God-fearing, marking human beings who love the Constitution. Of course, we never spend any time asking them to read the Constitution. They just tell them, well, you got to love the Constitution, boy, because that's what means freedom.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dusty Hammond is the nephew of Steve Hammond and the grandson of Dwight Hammond. Steve and Dwight Hammond are the arsonists and poachers whose prosecution and sentencing is at the center of all of this foolishness. It was March in 2004 when Dusty was 16 years old that Deputy Sheriff Brian Needham of the Harney County Sheriff's Office, along with a human services representative, went to Crane High School in Crane, Oregon. And they went there to talk to Dusty about what was described as a possible assault involving a student. And this is some sickening stuff. And Dusty, according to Deputy Needham, Dusty told me that about 4 to 5 weeks ago, he'd scratched some initials into his shoulder chest area with a paperclip. Okay, I don't get this. I don't understand this, but apparently it's something young people do. We were still figuring out the glories of writing on ourselves with ballpoint pens back when I was riding my dinosaur to school, but... now they carve on themselves and stuff, especially kids with emotional problems. And Dusty probably had some insofar as he was being raised by Grammy and Grampy with Uncle Steve along for discipline purposes. But Dwight and Grammy learned about the scratching. And they were kind of perplexed and bamboozled by it because, well, they're the common clay of the New West, you know, morons. And so they called in Uncle Steve as the enforcer. This is from the report. Dusty told me that in the past several months, the discipline has gotten worse and worse. Dusty told me that 2 to 3 months ago, he and Steve had gotten into an argument about how Dusty was doing his chores. Dusty stated that Steve became very upset and charged him. Dusty stated that Steve hit him in the chest with a closed fist, knocking him to the ground. Dusty stated that Steve then took Dusty's face and rubbed it into the gravel. Dusty stated that this action hurt and made him feel fearful of Steve. Wolverines. Steve, in 2004, was 35 years old and 6'2" and 200 pounds. On another occasion, when Dusty was caught with alcohol, as teenage boys are wont to do, Steve drove him 10 miles from the ranch and made him walk back. Just dumped him out of the car and said, "You want a drink so bad, you can walk 10 miles home and get a drink." Mm-hmm. Then, when Dusty was caught with tobacco, well, remember, the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and Scripture teaches us that. Quote, Steve made him eat 2 cans of Skoal smokeless tobacco, and then again drove him 10 miles from the ranch and made him walk back. And then finally, on February the 29th, 2004, was the incident involving the fact that he had carved some initials into his chest with a paperclip. This is where it gets kind of harrowing. These are the patriotic Merkins whose prosecution got the ball rolling. From the report, Dusty stated that Steve told him that he was not going to let Dusty deface the family by carving on himself. No word yet on how that defaced the family instead of just Dusty. And, okay, if somebody's cutting themselves or something like that, intervention is probably warranted. Maybe some counseling. No, there was not going to be any counseling for Dusty. Because after explaining to him that he was not going to be allowed to deface the family, Steve took the young man and doing about 5 minutes per side, if you can let your imagination go this far with you, he took some heavy grit sandpaper and vigorously sanded the initials off of the 16-year-old young man. Also from the report, the deputy writing, Dusty told me that the process was very painful, but that he did not cry because he knew that Steve would continue the process for a longer period of time. You know, if he cried. Grammy, according to Dusty, was in the room the whole time. Halfway through, Grampy got up and left. But Steve kept on sanding. Somewhere along the way, Steve told young Dusty, "Well, if sanding these don't take the initials off of you, I'm going to fillet them right off of you with my knife." Oh, sometimes I feel sorry for the people who tune into this program from civilized parts of the world. I mean, I'm glad, for instance, that our buddy Scott in Sweden doesn't have some of his Swedish neighbors over and just translate to them in real time from English into Svenska what it is that I'm saying here. Because, see, by this point in time, the blood would have all drained out of all of their faces, and their mouths would be hanging open like some sort of Edvard Munch the painting. It was Munch, wasn't it? The Scream? Yes, I think. But apparently he didn't have to fillet the skin off of young Dusty, this proud son of constitutional freedom. Monk, sorry, thank you. Little Gray in the chat room, it's Monk. Edvard Munch. What am I supposed to do with that CH at the end? You know, I know. Give me a second here. Just had a call come in on the stress line, and I realized that we were not properly Bluetoothed. So we will be doing that right now. But no, the filleting was not necessary because the sanding did, in fact, work. Worked well. Again, from the report, quote, Dusty told me that after Steve was finished with the sanding process, that the areas were bleeding. Dusty told me that his grandmother told Dusty to clean the area up and not to have a pity party. Where's that? Where? Where's that nurturing instinct that we're all the time hearing about? Right, never mind. Right-wingers don't nurture. No, not even a little bit. His grandmother told him to shower if he wanted to, but to make sure that he cleaned the wounds with alcohol and put Neosporin on them. Dusty told me that he did as his grandmother instructed and then went to bed. The wounds were still raw when they came to the attention of the school 10 days later. On March 9th, the human services official photographed the boy's injuries. Mm-hmm. And by March 16th, Deputy Needham interviewed the Hammonds at their ranch. This is where it gets interesting. He confronted them with what they had done to a 16-year-old boy.
You know, in my day, when a boy got to be 16-year-old, he was considered a man. And old enough to take on the responsibilities and obligations and ordinances of the church and take his place in a lawful constitutional society.
Deputy Needham says he read them all their Miranda rights, and he said, I asked everyone if they could tell me what had happened on or about February 29, 2004, when the Sanding incident with Dusty Hammond occurred. Steve Hammond began by telling me some background information concerning Dusty Hammond. In other words, he started smearing the victim. And then the grandparents joined in and told the deputy about how they had custody of Dusty for about 4 years, and they was having trouble with him in September 2003 when he was 15, and they tried to get help at the County Behavioral Health Center, and the boy had been put on a medication similar to Prozac for about the last 3 or 4 months. Mm-hmm. And then the deputy asked him about the alcohol incident, and they said, they changed the subject and wouldn't answer the question. And then he asked him about the business with the tobacco and the 10-mile walk back, vomiting his brains out. And Dwight told me he tried to show Dusty that chewing tobacco was harmful on his body. Dwight continued by saying that he had Dusty eat a full can of chewing tobacco over a several-day period. And so then he asked him about the 10-mile hike again, and they clammed up again. So that's when he moved to the Sanding. Steve Hammond began by telling me that raising kids is like raising cows or dogs. Yeah, yeah, constitutionalists living the free, liberty-loving, merkin life. Belt Sander Wolverines! And then, adding insult to injury, Steve Hammond told the deputy, you know, if Dusty's lucky he ain't here at the ranch for telling on us, or they'd have been hell to pay, and Dusty'd have wished he wasn't alive. That's when the deputy said, listen, Dusty's not pursuing this investigation. It's the state of Oregon. That's when Steve Hammond said, I don't agree with the government getting involved in family matters. Dwight Hammond told me, the deputy continued, that Dusty had accidentally showed him the carvings of the initials on his chest, that a family meeting was called to discuss the incident. Dwight told me that Dusty was given an opportunity to come up with an alternative punishment. Dwight told me that after a while, when Dusty was not able to come up with a punishment, because it's all about the punishment,
gotta suffer a little bit, boy.
And it was decided the initials would be, it was decided that would be your passive voice there, not we decided to, no, it was decided that the initials would be sanded off. It was decided mutually and agreed upon by everyone, including Dusty, that this is a good plan. Steve Hammond told me that they have been trying to teach Dusty to respect his body.
Yeah, nothing says respect for the body, the temple of the Holy Spirit, like getting some hide sanded off of you with coarse grit sandpaper. Man, that'll teach you some respect.
When it came time to ask who did the actual sanding, whoop! Those freedom-loving constitutionalists clammed right the hell up. The Hammonds told me that after the sanding was completed, Dusty made the comment that he did not think the areas were sanded deep enough and thought that he should use steel wool to sand the areas some more. But none of them saw any injuries. None of them saw any injuries after it was all done. And here's the fun part. At no point in time were any of these child-abusing miscreants charged with a crime. Later on, he was interviewed by federal authorities, and Dusty said that he feared that when Steve Hammond learned he had talked to police, that he would come to his front door and kill him. Now, remember how this is just these Hammonds are just freedom-loving patriots. Well, they went hunting. It was a deer hunt back when Dusty was 13. This was the testimony that was provided to a grand jury. And he said he heard a number of gunshots after the hunting party had gone over the hill, but he hadn't seen any deer and he hadn't fired his rifle. At the end of the hunt, Steve Hammond started handing out boxes of Strike Anywhere matches and said, "We're going to light up the whole country on fire." And he pointed at the horizon and said, "Just start lighting them matches and walk in that direction till you run out." That's what he told Dusty to do. He said, "Fire was like knee-high to start with, and then I was looking, trying to figure out where everybody else went, and I kind of got, like, trapped by it. It came up behind me faster than I expected it to. It was, like, over my head, 8, 10 feet probably. I thought I was probably going to get burned up," and he ran down the hill to a stream. He got back to his granddaddy's pickup truck where Dwight Hammond told him, "Keep your mouth shut, boy. Nobody needs to know about this fire." And for this, this is what these right-wing, white wing, ignorant POSs have invaded a bird sanctuary over. Yeah. Steve. in New York says, "Staying out of family issues like Terry Schiavo." Well, no, not like Terry Schiavo. No. Republicans only want to stay out of family issues when somebody's still alive and maybe has suppurating, bleeding wounds. Oh, okay. I'll take that into consideration. Our buddy Gary Laborman says, I thought maybe adding a hallelujah to the end of the echo chamber description of Merca, or maybe a praise Jeebus. It's getting kind of lengthy, Gary. It's going to turn into a 2-minute affair before much longer. But yeah, I thought the amen was doing it, but you know what? A hallelujah after the amen, that might work very nicely. By the way, Devin pointing out by a message, that much tobacco ingestion could have been a lethal dose of nicotine had the boy passed out without vomiting. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Brother Deacon Asa in regard to something I said earlier about how we took it on the chin from Bundy, Asa says, are you suggesting that the American taxpayer was teabagged by Clive and Bundy, Brother Bob? Well, as the saying goes, draw your own conclusions. This is who they want to go to war over. This is who was unfairly sentenced. Just start lighting them matches and keep a dropping them till you run out. We're going to set this whole country on fire. And I may have neglected to mention yesterday that the reason they want the bird sanctuary back is because they're sick of them damn birds. And what they want to do is they want to timber it all out. And after they've cut down all the trees, they want to drill them some oil or mine them some mining stuff. What, I don't know, coal, gold, silver, arsenic, cadmium, barium, uranium, who knows. But there's freedom in that there bird sanctuary. And I apologize for this stupid cornpone voice, but these are some stupid cornpone people. You don't kid yourself for a minute. With these yokels, you could not have anything resembling an intelligent conversation. Because it would be peppered up with the, that one in our White House, and let me tell you a little bit about the Negra. And they're putting they're destroying freedom, and we got to get back to the Constitution and take our country back. Jesus. You get the idea. So we've got, but there's, like I said, there's more than just that. I got a couple of clips from last night that I still want to play. And then we're probably going to have to talk about guns. Oh, I hate it when I feel like I'm turning into a one-trick pony. But before we do any of that here at 8 minutes before the hour, let's run over to the stress line. And unless I am mistaken, talk to, could it be, is it Tracy, the lady cab driver? Is that you, Tracy?
Oh, my God, yes, it is.
I'm so glad it is.
I have no words. I just, because, you know, I shut down every so often, and then I come up for air because I need to. But then I hear stuff like this, and then I shut down again because I'm like, so, because I'm slow. Sometimes I'm slow on the uptake. And so let me get this straight about the reason why these idiots are, you know, taking over a bird sanctuary in Oregon. You're saying it's because this idiot that committed arson and was bragging about committing the arson, and he's serving time because he committed arson.
Yes.
They're protesting his sentence. Is that what it is?
They're protesting the fact that he was prosecuted at all.
Because
in their alternate universe, he was doing that to protect his house from his ranch and farmstead from a being burnt down. But that story fell apart like a house of cards on fire.
Okay, I'm still scratching my head. Because I have this thing.
Well, that's because you have a functioning brain, Tracy.
Okay. Because and when they start talking about the Negro problem and all this, I don't know anybody that's going down burning shit down. And like these protesters say, nay, militia, nay, domestic terrorists, and I don't understand how a bunch of armed people on federal land can just sit around with guns and say we ain't moving. Why? Because we can't. And we're not going. What do they say? We don't intend on shooting anybody, but if we have to, we will.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not in. But if I protest. If I go, me and a bunch of dark-skinned folks that look like me go out and protest the latest police murder of a young black person or a person of color,
then we're thugs and looters and rioters and stuff like that, even though we don't have guns, and typically they're all peaceful protests, right?
Yeah, right.
And then the National Guard is called out when we do stuff, right?
Absolutely, and snipers.
Okay, and snipers and tanks and stuff like that, but we don't have guns. I mean, there might, not to say there's not somebody in the crowd that may have one, but there might be a couple of cool players in the crowd that might have a gun. Okay. But they're not walking around bearing the gun. They're not walking around saying, if we're going to intend on shooting anybody, but if we have to, we will. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just making sure.
You know what? I mean, it's okay. It really is okay, Tracy, if you just want to file this under the broad general heading of white people. What the?
Yeah, this is under the heading of crazy-ass white people.
Yes, it's. I mean, it's okay. You won't hurt my feelings.
And I know I won't, but it's just trouble. I was watching our president speech this this afternoon, probably on your side of the country, but this morning on my side. And Alex and I were watching it, and he would pause, you know, between like, okay, I'm trying not to be angry, and I'm trying not to say, you stupid, gun-loving motherfucker, and crazy-ass white people. So he gets stuff in measured tones, but I know underneath, that angriness that comes with being a black person in this country and trying to talk logic and reason to people who think you're an idiot, it's because you're automatically wrong because why you're black. And so I understand that because I think at some point he was going to start preaching this morning.
Oh, by God, we could stand the sermon, Tracy.
The sermon on the, I listen to our president whenever there's a news conference or interrupted show that I'm watching. I listen because usually it's something that I want to hear. But this time it was something that I really wanted to hear. And I'm just, when the man shed tears talking about every time he thinks about first graders being killed, And nothing is done about it? That's enough. When is enough going to be enough?
Well, but see, and I want to choose my words carefully, Tracy.
Oh, no, choose them carefully. You don't have to choose them because, see, there's that undertone of him bombing brown people, too. And that he hadn't said anything about Black Lives Matter and all that, but go ahead.
No, I mean, see, the American people, by something like 60% or more, want some things done about our rather obvious firearm problem in this country.
Yes, at least 60%.
But we have to acknowledge that this country is apparently run by people who are okay with six-year-olds not getting to become seven-year-olds.
Or just 6.5-year-olds.
That half matters when you're six,
it's
as I've been told.
Matters.
But
it matters until you're 11.
Right, exactly. That's about, yeah. But that's a fact. This country is run, operated, and driven for the benefit of paranoid, pasty-faced, doughy white people who love their guns more than other people love their children. And it's just a fact.
And it's a chilling cold. It's a bone chilling cold. That cold that, you know, I mean, I don't suffer from it very often I live in California. But I stuck that in my own,
That realization will make chills run down your spine.
And you just can't get warm, no matter what you do. And that usually, and not only do you get cold, but it comes with a sense of nausea, too. Because now it's like I can't get cold, and I'm so cold that I'm making myself nauseated because I don't ever think I want to get warm. That's the feeling. That's the feeling.
And you know, President Obama gave a litany today of all the places where the shooting and the killing has been done, not all of them by any stretch, but enough of them to make it clear that it's something that's on his mind. And you know how he can't get angry, because then he would be an angry black man?
Right.
Well, he apparently can't shed a tear either.
Yeah, I was waiting for that one. Because I purposely have not gone on the internet. I haven't Googled President Obama cheer.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you what, I'll save you the trouble. After the call, I'm going to go directly to that issue. And you will be sickened by it, I guarantee you. I apologize for it. But if we do not acknowledge the psychopathy and the sickness and the pathology and the murderous white rage and white hot rage that burns through a certain quadrant, a certain segment of this country, then I don't know. We'll just be sitting in a circle singing "Kumbaya" when they come along with their freedom protectors and protect freedom into
Let's
us.
Take us out, and that's my fear, Bob. Because like it doesn't, because there's like you said, there's enough of us in this country that feel that, and even the people who own guns. They were interviewing people the other day at some gun shop, and they were like, we don't understand what the problem is about the background checks. You know, it's the same thing. I spoke a little while last summer. They asked me to speak for the city council about Uber. And one of the things that Uber has been fighting against is background checks for their drivers. And so I posed the question to the city council. I'm like, okay, if I have to get a background check with the fingerprints and the whole thing to become a licensed, permitted driver, why is it that another group of people who are driving, the same people, you know, citizens of the city, why shouldn't they? What is the problem? Why is it that you feel that they should not have to get background checks? I don't, and it's the same, well, you know, it imposes on their freedom and blah, blah. I'm like, no. There's one guy really pissed me off, was a brother, and he was saying, well, you know, that keeps people, you know, it's racial, and it'll keep certain, African Americans from driving if they have a felony. I'm like, no, as long as you disclose. And as long as your felony isn't a violent felony, I've never. And these arguments that they said, you know, I'm like, no, not true. So not true, because I'm sorry, I don't want. You know, I would never take an Uber vehicle, and it has nothing to do with the, you know, there's most of the people who drive Uber are trying to just make some a decent living, which they're not.
No, they're not. When I'm in a big city, I won't use Uber.
Right.
Because I know how the workers are treated.
Exactly. It's like shopping at Walmart. It's the exact same thing.
It's a 1-to-1 analog. Absolutely. Well, just to let you know, to give you a sense of how sick and twisted some portions of this country are. on the word that Barack Obama was going to say something about firearms today, guess what happened on Wall Street? Sturm Ruger went up 7.4%. Smith & Wesson stock went up 12%. Why?
Because
all the white people are going
to
run out and start buying guns for all they're worth again. You know, if nothing else, by the end of his presidency, I hope the NRA will at least have the common courtesy to send Barack Obama a thank you card for all the money he has made them.
Exactly.
Now, we're 7 years into his presidency, and he still hasn't taken away anybody's gun. He hasn't taken, and you know what? Thanks to Barack Obama, you can carry your Freedom Protector into national parks now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's some gun grabbing. You're doing it wrong.
And this is I try not to get into discussions with people about guns because, you know, I know too many people have died because on the other end of a gun. So there's really nothing you can say to me about guns. I just try not to get into it with people.
Well, but you know, the funny thing about that, Tracy, is that I can have some conversations around here, and I can have them because I'm white. And most of the folks around here are white. And I've looked at a few good old boys and said, honest to God, what kind, and you use the local argot, and you say, honest to God, what kind of chicken shit are you if you can't go to the Wally World for a loaf of bread and a jug of milk without strapping on a hog leg?
Right.
And you know what the good old boys say? You're damn right. I can't figure that out for the life of me. And then if I tell them, well, you know, come January, February, anybody in West Virginia is going to be able to conceal a weapon and carry it anywhere they want to, thanks to our Republican legislature, and they'll look at you and go, well, that's crazier in the head than a hog is in the ass.
Exactly.
So, I mean,
well, I
am absolutely, utterly, totally, irredeemably convinced that the purpose behind all of this is to arm the population heavily for an anticipated insurgency. Because
you know,
dumbasses like Ammon Bundy, he wants him some civil war.
Yes, he does. These are the same people that want the end of days. I was driving. There's a church. It was Apocalypse. It was in Spanish. And it was, it's about the apocalypse and all this. And I remember a million years ago when I was a kid and my pastor. Everybody was always talking about, why don't you talk about Revelation? So then we, and he said, because we don't need to worry about the end of time. Can we worry about what's happening right now and do something about it? Instead of worrying about the end of time, because I guarantee you, but those people, I mean, when the rapture comes, will believe it, that it's best to make the rapture, that they think that by Israel coming back to this and all this, that they're doing their level best to hopefully bring Jesus back.
Yeah, they're going to. If they get, they're going to kick Jesus out of heaven. Get on down there.
Right. I guarantee you, these people, the way they act, when the rapture does come, they're going to be down here with everybody else. Jesus is going to take a look at them and say, "You do realize that there's going to be black people in heaven, there's going to be Asian people in heaven, there's going to be gay people in heaven, there's going to be the disabled in heaven. It's got all these people."
No,
that you don't want to. Yeah.
Not going. No, they're not going. No. They're not going to be in white heaven.
Oh, that's right. There's heaven segregated as well.
Damn straight. Yeah. Everybody else got to go in the back door heaven.
Right, I got to get served to, I got to go to the back of the bus on the bus ride to heaven. But
yeah, your halo's probably going to be kind of tarnished, and your harp's going to be kind of it'll be out of tune with some broken strings and stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It'll be separate but equal.
Right. Exactly. Plessy Heaven.
It'll be Plessy Heaven. Exactly. Brad Good is already up there. And he's going to be like, you know, man, I thought I already heard you this case about Brown versus the Board of Education. I thought I was good. I thought I could rest. But now y'all going to have to try to have me come up. And you guys are going to, now you're going to come up here with this mess again? Didn't he settle this shit?
Yeah, sorry, no.
You know, like I said, there's this part of me that you try not to live in fear. And, you know, and doubt and all this stuff because of my faith that I do my love of death. But then when I hear about these people who are living to create a civil war, who will not be happy until there's a race war, who will not be happy until people who listen to Glenn Beck can, you know, about the advancing...
Now, don't leave out Alex Jones.
You know, and Alex Jones and all these fools who are so full of bile and hate, and then they spread all this around. But then again, but when people that follow them and listen to them act, they have a mental illness. They're not radicalized. No. They have a mental illness. I love what Barack Obama said about that, too. He's like, well, you know, when they're always trying to say, well, the mental illness, then, well, we're going to make sure that these people with mental illnesses
hey, you know what? They're so worried about mental illness. Why don't we have universal single-payer mental health care?
Exactly.
Well, yeah, because that'd be communism.
Why? Because socialism. It's socialism.
You know it.
And so this is the thing where... You know, when you listen to what people are saying, but are you really hearing what they're saying? You know, as hard as it is for us to listen to Donald Trump without vomiting, projectile, not just vomiting, not just a dry heave. I actually think dry heave is the worst than vomiting, because at least when you vomit,
yes. Now remember, there are places on this planet where it's the dinner hour and the breakfast hour, so and the luncheon hour. So,
I'm sorry, but no, but when you have to do that, that's purging. That's a violent action. It hurts. Okay.
So well, I mean, consider a little kid. No, a little kid, a 16-year-old, and remember, the 16-year-old starts carving initials in himself after he's been made a party to a massive arson that came near killing a firefighter, okay? Now, as Roger up in Oregon points out, while most have heard that when a child starts cutting theirself, it's a cry for help, marking one's flesh with one's initials is a fairly rare form of cutting. It's the child's way of wanting to help posterity identify the body.
Exactly. When you have a child cutting himself, Jesus Christ, what kind of mad crazy? That's your crazy.
There's probably some unhealthy, you know, if a kid's cutting himself, there's probably something unhealthy going on in the child's life somewhere. And where does the child spend a great deal of his time? At the home. Now this kid was in the foster care sort of his Grammy and Grampy under the enforcer tutelage of nephew, who is also of course Grampy and Grammy's son. Now, I mean, if you were the social worker, wouldn't that kind of make you go, hmm?
Again. It is mind-boggling the mind, and Like I said, these people, what terrifies me the most, Bob, is not because it's because it only takes a couple of people, it only takes one person to take out a whole lot of people. And unfortunately, there's a whole lot more crazy people than we realize are out there. And these are the people who have guns. These are the people who walk into a Bible study and kill black people. These are the people who walk onto an elementary school and kill first graders. These are the people who walk into a mosque and kill Muslims. These are the people who just walk into a building and just kill whoever. It's indiscriminate.
Well, here's a little something else for you to consider, Tracy. And this is part of what was disturbing me about the fact that we didn't cordon off the buildings. We didn't limit access. You know, we let them carry their groceries and their snacks in. And well, guess what? There's kids there now, which is what they wanted all along. According to a report in the New Civil Rights Movement that Angry Indian gave me, the domestic terrorists now have kids in that federal building.
And again, why? Were they not?
Well, because they're cowards, and they wanted to set it up like Waco and Ruby Ridge, and they want to use their kids as human shields. Because again, they're chicken shits.
They're not. This is what troubles me, and what pisses me off is that they were allowed to convene or commute, whatever the hell, gather in the first place on federal land, and nothing was done. And like you said, they're just letting people come in and out with their groceries, and they're, you know, we're here for the duration.
Well, I tell you what. Let's get some folks. I tell you what, just to be fair about things, and I'm not picking on anybody, but this is because of how stupid so many Americans are. What do you say we get a group of Sikhs who walk in and occupy an abandoned post office somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see how long that is allowed to go on. The Oath Keepers would be there before the federal government could get there.
Well, look what happened when the Panthers rolled up on Capitol building in Sacramento.
Oh, sure. California had them some gun control lickety split.
In a hot second, because guess what? The Negroes got the guns. Because see, the thing is, they keep forgetting. If you can buy a gun, then I can too. What is it? I hit one of those memes. I want to learn how to make those. They're cool. It was a picture. It was three different pictures. There's a picture of a brother holding a gun and said "bug." A picture of an Arab brother holding a gun that said terrorist, and a picture of the white boy that was obviously a redneck holding the gun's amendment.
Yeah, it said militia. Yeah, and we're not going to use that word with them anymore. They're seditionists. By the way, you're getting a little bit of pushback from Tim from L.A., and I suspect it's because you never came through with...
I had to give him that room, I know.
Yeah, yeah. Tim says, I love Tracy a lot, but if people like Hammond or Bundy end up in some sort of heaven with God, I'd rather float somewhere in outer space away from these assholes. I became an atheist because of racism in church, but if racists are tolerated in that mystical state called heaven, I want no part of this. Well, since there's no heaven.
No, that's my point. That's my point, that if the Jesus that I follow and that I follow his teaching, when he does come down for the rapture or, you know, that was that thing that they talked about. All these people who are claiming to be Christians, they're going to be left down here. Because Jesus, like I said, there's no segregation in a true heaven. there's no segregation. There's no, you know, get to the back of the bus, Negro, and like you said, the not even a second-hand heart, but the third-hand heart, you know, that beat up, broken with one string, it might as well be, you know, a cigar box guitar or something like that. We don't even, I don't even rate that. So, no, trust me, I don't want to be a part of any kind of religion or around a group of people who feel that I'm less than just because I'm a black woman and I'm a lesbian. I make Jack crazy because, you know, I might as well just have a T-shirt that says I'm a lesbian, deal with it. But so the other day I got a thing in the mail about personalizing my debit card for my credit card from Wells Fargo. And it had you have the stars and stripes and all this. But guess what else they have, Bob? The LGBTQ colors, our flag. Guess what's on my credit card? And it covers the entire credit card.
The flag?
And I make
the rainbow.
And I made sure every time I was in Louisiana, I used it. I have other cards, trust.
And you know what? And down in Louisiana, they were more than happy to have that card because they like them some money.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, they do. Yes, they absolutely do.
They like it. But the thing is, and I make sure I use it in places like when I'm in Upland, California, you know, or places where, you know, not so much like in the gay folks, not so much like in the black folks, definitely not like in the gay folks. So I give them a double whammy. It's like, whoa, wait. And I always get, what I love is when I get asked for ID. Because typically I don't. I'm a middle-aged black woman. You know, most people don't even count me as important. So, you know, they just pretty much assume that it's my card. But every so often I get that person looking for my, asking for my ID. And
can I see your ID, please, ma'am? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, sure, no problem. I'm not offended at all. Well, of course I am, but, you know, I don't show that I am. But it's just, it terrifies me that where this country is going. And as much as I love hearing a president speak about gun control, even he said, you know, the chances of this happening during my presidency, not so much. Happening within the next 5 years, not so much, but we got to start trying. But like you said, but then again, instead he prefaced it. Until we start voting in people who are not afraid of the gun, who are not bought and paid for by the gun lobby, and who don't, you know.
And who don't, and who aren't itching for a civil war.
Right. We gotta
come to terms with that. These people are not peaceful white gun owners. They're people who are biding their time gun owners.
Mm-hmm. They're just lying
and look, let me just say this, and if Agent Fred feels the need to speak with me, I'm here. I'm not advocating anything. I don't want, but you know what? With every day, And I've said this from the beginning, every successive day of his presidency, Barack Obama is in more, not less, danger.
I'm with you on that one. The fact that he's made it this long and this far.
With these tepid little, and you know, there's not much a president can do about guns, but with these tepid little steps. He's gonna have every angry white guy in this country, in a vibrating, nervous, fidgety, furious, white hot, and I do mean white rage.
Yes.
And meanwhile, Carol Baker tells me that the first murder victim of 2016 in Fresno, California, is a Sikh.
There you go.
I'm guessing that's not Sikh-on-Sikh crime.
Oh, no. Because, you know, Sikhs are Muslims, right?
Yeah, but no. I mean, you know, and I know, and no.
I mean, I don't want to use the language that I know they would use, as, you know, something like camel this and sand this and, you know, but, you know, cow this and rag this. Because, you know, they're all alike. Because, well, if you have a turkey, you know, if you're wearing a turban or whatever, you're automatically a Muslim.
No. Well, I know. Well, Tracy, I tell you what, I'm gonna run along, but I want it because among other things, I want you to be able to listen and hear it straight up when I get to that clip because, maybe you'll be pulled off on the side of the road or something, and you won't be a hazard to traffic.
I will be pretty soon. I'm going in for an MRI, so I will be.
Goodness me, are you okay?
I have been having neck issues, and because I have a damn good doctor who cares. Because right before we went on our cruise, he gave me a couple of shots of cortisone, and I was feeling fine. But he's like, and usually when I get cortisone, it lasts 6 months, sometimes even a year before I even have to deal with it again. But this time it didn't. And so he's like,
no, you have my sympathy because I've got a rotten neck too. So I know. Yeah.
And so there you go. So there, you know, I'll be sitting, and, you know, that's one of those beautiful things about living in California. I can go for 24/7 and go get an MRI. Hip, hip, freaking hooray. And so that's where I'm on my way to now. So in any event, you know, I will be listening to you guys while listening.
Well, I'm going to make sure I go straightway to that so that you'll hear it before you go into the tube.
Please do.
Because I'm just that kind of guy.
And I'm sorry, do I need my hockey puck and the duct tape?
Probably a couple of strips.
Okay, well, thank you for warning me, so I'll, you know, at least now I know. Because those are the kind of things that, you know, you gotta, so now I know. So that's okay, because so now I'm going to switch over to TuneIn Radio. You guys, to my whole family, love you guys, and, make sure before sometime, because it's going to take a minute to get it hooked up, in about 10 minutes or so, could you let me know what's happening with money-wise? Or just let me know now, and I can tell you what I can do.
We're in a $330 hole.
Where, how much?
$330.
Okay, $50 challenge.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay, so $50 challenge, and I'm going to go listen to TuneIn Radio and... Before I do that, I'm
going to
go get my hockey puck and my duct tape.
Get a good bite out of it. Did you say 30 or 50?
No, I said 50.
Okay, 50. All right, sounds very well. That'll be most helpful.
There you go.
All right,
my dear.
Thank you, Tracy. Drive carefully, and I'm hoping for good results, and we all are from the MRI.
I'll be fine. I'm too tough to be anything else, but fine.
Atta girl. All right, well, we'll talk soon, and I'll do the setup, and hopefully you'll have TuneIn going by then.
Yeah. Oh, I'm moving into a three-bedroom, Tim, so maybe I will have an extra room, just let you know.
That's mine. I quit that. That's mine for when I wander out periodically for you and me to go and go into the depths of the shrimp taco binge.
Deep fried. Make sure, but get it right.
Damn.
Shrimp tacos. That's just deep fried shrimp tacos. Get it right,
sweetheart. Well, you know, with you as my guide, I don't think I can go wrong.
Nope, we'll be fine. So you take care. And again, guys, remember $50 challenge. I'm going to give the $50 regardless, but it would be nice to double that 50. You know what I'm saying?
Take it easy, Tracy.
Yeah, okay. Take care, you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye now. The one and only Tracy, the lady cab driver who will help knock us down to only $230 to go. She will match the first. And okay, so no, no, it's actually $320. Thank you, Carol. $320. Oh wait, $300. Thank you, Carol. And then, so that'll, yeah, there's a $50 challenge on the table. The next 50 bucks come in, get doubled by Tracy. But that only happens if the next 50 bucks come in. So this is what, oh my God. Off into the swamp. It's been a while since we heard from Andrea Tarantula. But her venom is still just as hateful, just as spiteful, just as vicious. So we know, I mean, this, you know, it's what happened. Well, let's check in with President Obama's remarks.
To life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness, those rights were stripped from college kids in Blacksburg and Santa Barbara and from high schoolers at Columbine. And from first graders in Newtown. First graders. And from every family who never imagined that their loved one would be taken from our lives by a bullet from a gun. Every time I think about those kids, it gets me mad. And by the way, it happens on the streets of Chicago every day.
He's good. He's not faking this. Those tears are real. He hasn't had a tear duct implant. The tears are real. You cry them. I cry them. This country should be drowning in tears for the innocence that we have seen murdered, whose lives we have seen ended because a bunch of paranoid, pasty-faced, doughy white people cling to their guns and their religion. He was right. What Barack Obama said years ago now was absolutely the truth. These paranoid, pasty-faced, doughy white people cling to their guns and their gods. And curiously enough, what he didn't say is that their guns and their gods are one and the same damnable thing. But in mentioning all this, he shed a tear or two. As it would be damned near impossible not to. And then, because he anticipates the two-legged turds of the right wing, your Levins and your Limbaughs and your Becks and your Hannitys and your Joneses, he said, and yeah, it happens in Chicago every day. Because, see, those merciless, soulless, conscienceless pricks, that's always their response.
Yeah, well, what about Chicago? Black on black violence.
Never bothering to consider the fact that the reason that those guns are all over the place in Chicago is because of nice white little enclaves in Wisconsin and southern Illinois and Indiana. Yeah. Thanks to CNN for the audio. Let's, without interruption.
Every time I think about those kids, it gets me mad. And by the way, it happens on the streets of Chicago every day. So, all of us need to demand a Congress brave enough to stand up to the gun lobby's lies, All of us need to stand up and protect its citizens. All of us need to demand governors and legislators and businesses do their part to make our communities safer. We need the wide majority of responsible gun owners who grieve with us every time this happens and feel like your views are not being properly represented to join with us to demand something better.
And just a thought experiment real quick before we go any further. Just a thought experiment. Can anybody imagine in an alternate universe in which Bishop Willard Romney stands up and grieves for children whose lives were stolen from them by the National Rifle Association? Because if you can, you've a far better imagination than I do. No, anytime I think of Bishop Willard Romney, the only thing I hear, well, is this.
Corporations are people, my friend. Of course they are. Human beings, my friend.
Yeah. Corporations like Smith & Wesson and Sturm Ruger. Smith & Wesson Holding Corp. Went up 10% to $25.58 a share today on the stock exchange. No, the blood exchange. And Sturm, Ruger & Company's stock went up more than 6% at $65.46 today. Because not wanting little children to be chewed into chutney is good business on Wall Street for the gun manufacturers. Because, yes, the pasty-faced, paranoid, doughy white people will run, not walk, not amble, not stroll, but will run, will fucking sprint to the gun stores to get them some freedom before that one in our White House, that Kenyan Muslim, you slurper, sends his jack-booted third thug government to put their federal jack boots on our freedom-loving throats and take away all our guns and our Confederate flags with them. Bastards. So yeah, that happened. Followed in fairly short order by Andrea Tarantula with her dead from the neck up response. You remember Andrea. This is the woman who said that Eric Holder ran the Department of Justice, quote-unquote, like the Black Panthers. And, by the way, just before we get to Andrea Tarantula, a little bit of breaking news courtesy of Carol Baker. Downtown Kansas City going on right now. At least 3 victims have been taken to the hospital in a triple shooting there because freedom. Oh, and as to the Sikh gentleman shot in Fresno. Oh, he wasn't shot, he was stabbed. And if it was a white winger, Asa says he would have been shot. Although a recent event in December involving a Sikh man was perpetrated by 2 white men. Oh, I don't know. I'm not convinced that I wasn't a white winger. White wingers have knives, too. Yeah, why would you stab, well, you know, Muslim, Sharia law. So now, back to the vicious, poisonous, venomous Andrea Tarantula, who just can't fathom that a president of the United States would shed tears over children whose lives were hacked to an end in various and sundry hails of profit-driven gunfire. Take it away, Andrea Tarantula.
And he listed some of the times in which he feels that our inalienable rights for the pursuit of joy and happiness and so on and so forth were robbed. Aurora, Colorado, the movie theater shooting, the mass shooting at Santa Barbara, outside of UC Santa Barbara, Newtown, Connecticut, Columbine. And lastly, he said, and teared up as he talked about it, his own home city of Chicago. And then a turn from those tears that the president wiped away on his face back to politics and telling people that voters need to remember, come election time, which leaders are standing in the way of gun safety, in his opinion.
I think when I watched that, what was really upsetting was the tears.
Okay, this is, I'll tell you when we get to Andrea Tarantula, this is just some generic, pasty-faced, doughy, bleach blonde white woman.
That he wiped away again and again.
Yeah.
You want that for, I mean, we feel frightened about what's going on with ISIS. And he does, he can't pull that kind of passion for anything but this. And I feel bad about those kids.
You stupid done. ISIS hasn't attacked here, sweetheart. Ma'am? What do you? Let the audio roll, Bob. Just let the audio roll.
Kids in Connecticut, without question. I mean, your heart breaks for them.
Right.
But it's only about this that he gets so upset about, and never about terror.
Every time I think about those kids.
The hell? He never gets upset about terror? Never? Not once? Ever? Then again, we haven't had a whole bunch of Muslim terrorist attacks in this country. Now, we've had terrorist attacks in this country, but we haven't had a bunch of Muslim ones. Yeah. San Bernardino. Absolutely. Horrifying. But that was an American citizen. Yeah, but he was a Muslim. Yeah, but that was an American citizen who had easy access to firearms. But Muslim! Yeah, but what about Dylann Roof? Misguided white kid. Clearly disturbed. Obviously mentally ill. Well, as noted, how about some universal single-payer mental health care? Communism! It's only... for God's sakes, get the hockey... that wasn't the worst of it. That was Meghan McCain.
It didn't seem horribly authentic.
And what's this about, he just turned to politics. Well, how the hell else are we supposed to solve this problem? Are we supposed to go and just politely demand, politely request that the pasty-faced, doughy white people give up their home arsenals? Sugar, they will kill people who do that.
Hey, he's trying to get my guns.
You saw it. He was trying to get a gun. He tried to pick up the gun. You saw he had a gun.
It gets me mad. And by the way, it happens on the streets of Chicago every day.
Well, many of us cried big tears the day that Sandy Hook happened. There have been so many times that we've had our hearts broken.
Yeah, there have. I think this is Zebediah or Ezekiel or whatever her name is. But that's the thing. All they do is shed big tears. Big tears are not worth a tinker's damn. But I cried, and I went and I lit a candle and stuff, and I said some prayers. Funniest thing I've seen all day was the photo on Facebook that said to. White patriots put out urgent request for snacks, and then it showed a picture of Barack Obama and said, "Sorry, we're all out of snacks. How about some thoughts and prayers?" Yeah. But see, yeah, I mean, as long as this millionaire talking head sheds some tears, some big tears. Well, I mean, we've done our part, and well, we got plenty of tears. I mean, we can shed some more tears the next time some six-year-olds get chopped into their constituent parts by a God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christian with a gun.
But as we come back out to the couch, it was interesting to see the reactions among some of you when the president teared up. Why was that, Andrea?
Oh, okay. So take another strip around with the duct tape. Here comes Andrea Tarantula.
Well, because if you really cared about an issue, especially like Chicago in his hometown.
And notice the predicate there, if he really cared about an issue. So she's saying that he doesn't really care. Okay? So she believes Zebediah over here when she says that she sheds big tears over something like Sandy Hook, but she doesn't know if he cared, right?
And it was plausible he would be doing something very different than he's doing, and he would have spoken out a long time ago. I mean, this is how many years? Almost 8 years. He's almost at the end of his term. And you haven't heard him go to Chicago and really speak out about this issue. And he is uniquely poised to do so.
Well, why? Okay, so he can't do that from the White House. He has to go to Chicago. Because Andrea Tarantula says so. And obviously she's got that, I mean, she's such a high IQ. I mean, that's why Rupert hired her, that high IQ.
Really. But everything he's doing won't solve the problem. So I would check that podium for like a raw onion or some no more tears. I mean, it's not really believable. I mean, and the award goes too. We are in award season. I don't.
You got that? I would check the podium for an onion. Yeah, definitely not a banjo because nobody cries when you cut up a banjo, but never mind. Evil, nasty, vile, venomous thing, which is actually why Rupert hired her. He hires people for the venom, for the ability to say the vile and hateful filth without so much as a shred of conscience, even just not even the shadow of conscience crossing their faces. And the award goes to. You see, he was acting, because that one in our White House, that Kenyan Muslim, you slurper, who never released the long-form birth certificate, well, he couldn't possibly be moved to tears by the slaughter of children. By slaughter after 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 slaughter. He couldn't possibly be moved to tears by that. Oh, what? Evil! Gets worse.
I don't understand why he's doing this. I agree with Andrea. The reason why I was reacting the way I was reacting when he was crying is because...
This is Meghan McCain.
It just didn't seem horribly authentic. And maybe it is. I don't know him at all, but...
Maybe it is. I mean, you know... just didn't seem horribly authentic? Ma'am, it was horrifyingly authentic, because those children are horribly, horribly dead.
I agree with you. If there's so much more to be done, again, if you care so much, go to your hometown of Chicago instead of talking about God-fearing Americans who just want to protect themselves when ISIS is coming to their hometown. And
Where do we have God-fearing Americans who are living in Raqqa, Syria? Because ISIS is... I mean, anybody want to help with this? Email, you know, bobkincaid@gmail.com, Twitter @bobkincaid, Facebook bobkincaid, Skype, phone call, help. Where is ISIS coming to people's hometown? And are they bringing, I don't know, Ebola? Although I find it interesting, from a psychological standpoint, that by definition, Meghan McCain has just admitted that it's God-fearing Americans who are doing the killing. Go to your hometown of Chicago instead of talking about God-fearing Americans when ISIS is coming to their hometown. That's the direct quote. So yeah, most of your mass murders are committed by upstanding, law-abiding, God-fearing, Christian, Bible-believing, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexuals. Thanks for finally admitting that, Meg. Nut Meg.
Shooting up 14 people.
I think it's that contrast, too. I mean, if you go back to what happened the day after the Paris attacks and we saw the president come out and there was no passion, you know, I mean, and yeah. He talked about what had happened. And you remember, I mean, I remember Bill Hemmer on that day and a lot of people, and it was sort of staggering the way he was not emotional about this thing that was so terrifying, even though it wasn't in our own country, San Bernardino.
You know what? Apparently this woman, the generic attack, Fox attack blonde, apparently she's scared of everything. I mean, it was so terrifying, even though it wasn't in our contract. Jesus.
Oh, same thing. You know, he comes out and they say, well, he's just cool. That's the way he is that he doesn't get emotional. And he's not
well,
like that.
Apparently
he's cool.
He does.
Right. So that's what, I mean, this is, we haven't seen this maybe ever, or at least in a very long time. And it's about something that feels political, that feels somewhat insincere, that feels like it's not going to make a huge difference.
It feels like bad political theater. That's what it looked like to me more than anything else. And
Is that John McCain's daughter, Meghan McCain? Bad political theater. Bad political theater. Steve in New York says, if a person disagrees, fine, but why do they have to be just so hateful and just nasty? Well, you got what you were waiting for. Steve said, I'm waiting for the some say it wasn't authentic. It's bad political theater. And the award goes to. And once again, as I always do, I think of all the millions of Americans sitting there nodding their heads, Emery and Eileen in their matching Barca loungers, there in hometown anywhere USA, just waiting, 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 day by day, waiting, 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 got a gun on strapped with Velcro holsters to either side of the Barca lounger, Emery and I, Marvelleen both, and they're just waiting, 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 waiting for ISIS to come barreling through the doors to lop off Emery and Marvelleen's head noggins. Because that's what these people tell them is happening. Meanwhile, the idea of constitutional governance in this country is under assault. And we get, what? Bupkis. Yeah. Let's run over to line one for a minute. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm well, Heather. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. I think Tarantula and Meghan McCain are the most vile, nastiest, and I'm being polite.
Don't hold back.
How about bitches?
Yeah, see, you can do that. I can't.
Oh, but I can't believe either one of them. That was pathetic, to put it mildly. And then Tarantula and Ew, why does he go to Chicago? Jeez, woman.
I know.
Have you not been watching what the hell's been going on for the past 7 years? Have you not seen him pissed when all these have happened? And I think when he cried, it made him seem a lot more human. And I honestly think he is a decent human being trying so hard to do what he can. But we have a Congress and a Senate that won't let him do diddly squat.
Right, because Congress gets a pass in all this. Congress is just upholding freedom against the Kenyan Muslim usurper. Because we wouldn't have no guns with which to defend ourselves when after we physically abuse a 16-year-old boy and he eventually spills his guts about us, you know, arson, burning down a whole bunch of land and nearly getting some firefighters killed. We wouldn't have no freedom to fight back against the jackbooted thug federal government when the jackbooted thug federal government interfered in our family affairs. Buffy, Jody, family affair.
And don't even get me started about what's going on in Oregon.
No, I know.
He won't even go there.
They're getting ready to cut the power?
Good.
About damn time, but like I said, reports are coming in now that there are children in the compound.
What?
Oh, yeah.
But they should have cut the power once they got there and just, you know, had no electric, no nothing for them for, you know, however long. And that might have solved the problem, but who knows? And I will say there are a couple Republican candidates who are saying obey, how do you say, they were saying stand, what was it? Obey and do what they tell you. But they said do it peacefully. And I give them credit for being reasonable. They're usually not reasonable, but you know. They should just go ahead and cut off the power and that's it. But I don't want to see freezing, starving children there, so.
No, and that's that. If those children truly are there, that's the purpose, to use them as human shields. Look at that, the federal jackbooted government tyranny done put down its tyrannical federal jackboots on the necks of some freedom-loving children and won't let them have electricity.
And that's abuse and exploitation, if you ask me.
Yeah, it is.
And that is so wrong.
Can we trot out that word? Evil? Wicked, maybe? I mean, the other side works the daylights out of those words. Yes.
Evil, wicked.
Exploitative?
Yes, exploitative.
I mean, that's more exploitative than Ted Cruz putting his children in an attack ad.
Oh, I know. It is.
And that was pretty exploitative.
Mm-hmm. And I would like to say it was very nice hearing, I think her name is
Tracy.
Yes, it was good hearing Tracy. I had never heard Tracy before.
Oh, goodness, you've missed a treat.
Yes, I like her very much. And I said somewhere on the Facebook page, can somebody send some love to Tracy for me?
So, oh, I think you just did because she's listening.
Good. I just wanted to call and say hi and yak for a minute, so have a great night.
I'm going to try, Heather. It's always a pleasure hearing from you, dear.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye now. Calling from somewhere in an undisclosed location in Michigan. That's Heather. And, of course, both lines are open if you want to jump into the conversation. We got a lot more stuff to do. Where did those 2 hours go? 304-574-8178 is line one. Line two is the stress line, named after the immortal, the gone but not forgotten Bill, Mr. Stress Miller, whose birthday we many of us remembered on January 1st. Mm-hmm. That was his birthday. 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676. And I suppose it might be well to go ahead and take a break. Because we've got some other stuff to clear out of the stack in the next hour or so, or your conversation, because after all, it is conversation radio. And I want to thank Roger, and I want to thank Donald. Thank you both for responding to Tracy's challenge. It has been met and exceeded. And let's see. Hey, by God, we've only got $150 to go in fundraising to get out of the hole. That's exciting as can be. Thank you very, very, very kindly. So, yeah, a little break, and your calls, our conversation. Who knows where it'll all take us. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I would have given you all of my heart, but there's someone who's torn it apart, and she's taken almost all that I've got. But if you want, I'll try to love again. Baby, I'll try to love again, but I know.
Stevens, he's a Muslim.
Muslin music on the horn. That's right. Yeah, no. But it is. It's Cat Stevens. And it's 5 minutes past the hour. And Tracy said, thank you, Heather. I felt the love. And we know you did. See, that's the neat thing about this little community. The people who call the program have more fans than I do. And I'm not upset about that because I'm not in this for fans. That's not what this is. But I do love the fact that that people do have fans on this program. And Tracy's got a bunch. Well, a lot of people. Well, practically everybody. And it's what makes the conversation special. So, I've got a photograph here of Harold Covington, who has put himself into the public consciousness and into the public discussion, talking about what's going on in Oregon. Harold Covington is a he's a white supremacist, proving every day the falsity of his premise. But he wants and we talked about this last night. There's a long and deep history of racism and bigotry in the Northwest that goes largely unnoticed. But Harold Covington wants a white utopia in the Great Northwest. And he's all in favor of what's going on out there as those brave protectors of constitutional incomprehension invade a bird sanctuary.
Looks like someone may have decided to start the revolution without us. Uh-huh.
He continued and said,
what Dylann Roof did was a hissy fit. This is not. There's in fact a worthy cause here, a legitimate casus belli. That in itself is a rarity and worth respecting.
Murdering 9 people worshiping in a church was a hissy fit, but invading a bird sanctuary is a worthy cause and a casus belli. That's Latin, cause of war.
That's right. That is. Oh, just if you want to see him and understand why I'm doing this voice the way I am, just look up Harold Covington. Yeah.
Now I did. I had clips from last night that we didn't get around to playing because the conversation was so good. But I really think we do need to run these just to show how it is that ideas like these fools in Oregon have get traction. Because in short order, right after they preserved freedom by attacking a bird sanctuary, yeah, the Hee-Haw Caliphate. People began noting that had they been black or Muslim, had they been black or Muslim, they'd all be laying in pools of their own blood by now, which I believe with every fiber of their being, my being, but over on Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, not so much. These are some well-paid clowns named Martha McCallum and Donine Borelli,
And I hope you didn't put the hockey puck away or anything. You didn't want to do that.
Well, they call themselves patriots, while others are starting to compare them to terrorists. So why would that be? An armed militia taking over a government building at an Oregon wildlife refuge. They're being helped by these ranchers, the Bundys, who have faced off against the government before. Police are keeping their distance for now. But the situation is sparking debate online over whether race is the reason for that. Many of the militiamen are white. The Washington Post writing this, quote, "It is hard to imagine that none of the words mentioned above would be avoided if a group of armed black Americans took possession of a federal or state courthouse to protest the police." What do you think? Denine Borelli, chief political correspondent for the Conservative Review and a Fox News contributor. And Jessica Ehrlich is a former Democratic congressional candidate and an attorney. Welcome to you both.
Good morning.
A lot of issues here and some interesting questions raised in a couple of editorials that say that news organizations have been so careful in terms of how they present these individuals. And they say that they were not that careful when it came to other cases like Dylann Roof, for example, who clearly had racist intentions when he crazily killed people in a Charleston church. They also point to Syed Farouk and Tashfeen Malik and that they were quickly labeled to be Islamic terrorists in the course of their killings in Dino, and they claim that some are handling these folks with kid gloves. Denine, what do you think?
Well, nothing like the left-wing media using an opportunity to really cloud the instance that's going on in Oregon to confuse people, and that's what the left-wing media does. Each instance that
Really, I'm not kidding. Tell me where the left-wing media are, because by God, I'll start watching and listening and reading and visiting their advertisers, because I haven't been. I think pretty much that people like me, Malloy, Rick Smith, Dr. Bill, I think we're pretty much it. I mean, you can turn on other progressive programs and hear interviews with Phyllis Schlafly, for God's sakes. That ain't left-wing media. Okay, Amy Goodman. But I don't think that's what Denine Borelli is talking about either. She means, like, CNN and ABC and the Washington Post. That's the left-wing. Oh, Jesus.
That is referenced in the article that you mentioned are individual circumstances. And what people need to understand what's going on in Oregon, it is really an overgrowth of government. Government gone wild is outreach of government. You have these...
What? Word salad. Government overreach, overgrowth of government in Oregon in 1908 when Teddy Roosevelt set up a bird sanctuary. Ne ute ikwe on the uptake, huh? I mean, 19-08-A.
Individuals who are trying to save their property, save their ranch, because...
By burning it? By burning federal property? Jesus. And, of course, there's the obligatory video footage with someone carrying that urine-colored snake flag.
The overrun of government is not doing that. Government owns a substantial amount of property in the West, and these individuals...
Government owns. We the people own.
...those were trying to save their property.
Jessica, what do you think?
Well, I think she's dumber in the head and a hog is in the ass, but... Jessica is the token Democrat.
You know, I disagree that this is sort of something that's being pushed by, you know, the left-wing media, obviously. I mean, I think this is a situation. I don't see that there are racist overtones here. There are very different similar situations. I think, as Denine said, that is accurate. However, this is never a situation that you want to have in the United States where we have the rule of law, where you have armed people who have taken over a federal building. Now, whether it's actually defined as terrorism will be up to not only the FBI and the Attorney General, but whether, you know, in terms of what they'll be charged, certainly the mayor.
This is why we lose. I mean, I'm sure she's a lovely human being and great to maybe sit down and have lunch with or whatever, but this is why we lose. Because when Deneen Borelli spews that word salad, the first response should be, do you like vinaigrette or blue cheese on your word salad? Because it doesn't make any sense. You've got to take the argument to these fools. Let's get back to Martha and Deneen, shall we?
Matters into their own hands in a way that is not acceptable in the United States of America.
It's not acceptable.
They raise a question, Deneen, of the racial tensions that we've seen in Missouri and the fact that in those situations when people are rising up
don't put the hockey puck away. I'm warning you. We've had a mention of Missouri. We're going to find out what the difference is between these incomprehensible constitutionalists whose constitution exists only in their own imaginations, the thin gray settlings that slosh around between their ears and pass for brains, and, those people in Ferguson. A special warning to Carol Baker. Special warning, Carol Baker.
That case against the police and against that government institution, that they are always referred to as being a group of black people, a group of sometimes thugs. Those kind of names are used. And they say, in this case, why aren't people talking about the fact that this is a group of white militiamen? Why is that distinction not made?
Well, listen, what happened in Missouri is really outrageous because you had individuals who were very destructive. They destroyed property. They destroyed their communities.
Now, are we talking about Darren Wilson? Did Darren Wilson destroy property when he destroyed Michael? Oh, never mind. They were very destructive.
We're looking at Oregon. Right now, these individuals are being peaceful. They're outraged about the overgrowth of government. It's government gone wild. And I tell you, we don't want to see this happen across the country, but this is an example of something that can happen because of the overgrowth of government. And Americans are tired of government intrusion in their everyday lives. And so these individuals, right?
Except for when the government, when right-wingers want to have the government intrude into, say, a woman's everyday life and the decisions she makes about her, reproductive organs, then we're not so worried about government overreach into the everyday lives of Americans. It's only when ignorant, dumber-than-dirt right-wing, white-wing, ill-educated boobs get upset about things that don't really exist. That's government overreach. But you got that there. You got that. Oh, and by the way, because I'm just, this is just demographic information. Deneen Borelli there, who said that that the Oregon militia aren't thugs because they're fighting government gone wild. She's a woman of color. At which point Tracy is sitting there waiting for her MRI and going, no! Yes. Because, see, that government gone wild, you want to know what part of government gone wild it is? Having a burn ban. Because from time to time, the American West becomes just one great goddamn big tinderbox, and just flicking a cigarette out the window is enough to burn down, 100,000 acres. And so the overreaching government gone wild imposes things like burn bans. And it's government overreach to suggest that you white, God-fearing, upstanding, Christ-centered, Bible-believing, waiting for the return of Captain Moron, your constitutional rights are being trampled by not being allowed to burn shit. Yeah, he just gave us the matches, strike anywhere matches, and he said start lighting them and dropping them till you run out. We're going to burn this whole country down. Yeah, that was testified to under oath. With the threat of perjury and everything hanging over his head. Presumably that's supposed to test credibility. We're not done, but we're going to go back to the phones because I hate to keep people on hold. Up in presumably Minnesota. Hey, welcome to the program. Turn your radio down. Hello already.
Are you speaking to me?
Yes, I said in Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
But whatever audio you've got going in the background's got to go.
Audio. Well, but the real audio problem is I can barely hear you over the phone too.
Okay. Well, I hear your audio. You go ahead and say what. Go ahead.
Okay, it's super hyper distorted. Just so that I can catch what you're saying. First of all, hi, Bob. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Roger.
It was great to hear Tracy. She's a very inspiring person. And I really value the contribution that she makes when she shows up. And here's a weird thing. You and I both know that President Obama, we both have deep and serious and abiding issues with his presidency and his role in our social evolution. But I don't know how you can get around saying that the man is a great president. It requires a lot of compromising of ideals, and it brings to mind to me the importance of setting aside our sparkle pony demands and recognizing that we need to go for the least worst, and that's a damn challenge for us idealists.
Without a doubt, and I know it's hard to hear me, but Roger, I agree. He is an excellent imperial administrator.
Yes, he is, and he's also he's also an excellent obfuscator of subterfuginous behaviors, and he's pulling off a grand hoodwinking, and he's still one of the best presidents that this country has ever suffered.
That's well said. I mean, and I agree with you. I would like to. I want Bernie. Okay, I'd like to have Bernie. I'd like to have Bernie with Dennis Kucinich as his vice president.
Yes, I do too, and I want my sparkle pony with whipped cream on top and a cherry. And I am not discounting the probability that we may even see a President Bernie, because I think he's our only chance, damn it. Nonetheless, I find myself confronted by examination of the matter of realpolitik and figuring out how to make the best of an imperfect situation. That seems to be what life delivers us.
Well, I mean, it is real politic. It's what we have to deal with. It's the fact that we've got a first past the post political system. And I don't know, maybe when the Koch brothers sponsor their convention of the states, maybe after that we won't. But I suspect we won't have any government at all.
Well, Bob, I wanted to just throw in quick give a shout out to all and begin nibbling at this matter of what we as idealists are to do in the face of an imperfect world. It's an ongoing conundrum, and I really think we need to somehow comb our hair out around it and decide to be supportive of incremental change. Even though we recognize that urgency requires us to call for much more dramatic progress in much shorter time frame. The idea that Bernie supporters would not flock to Hillary with all her warts is scary to me. I do think that Bernie is very possibly going to become the Democratic nominee. But come on, folks, let's be prepared to recognize the value of less bad. And I really think that our imperial administrator's brilliance is a fine case in point.
Well, what I said a few minutes ago, Roger, I stand by. Can anybody imagine Bishop Willard Romney shedding a tear over the dead kids of Newtown or Chicago or the dead of San Bernardino? Can you?
I can't imagine that wooden freak shedding a goddamn tear.
Well, maybe over a 1% loss in his stock portfolio, but not much else.
Yeah.
Maybe he cried at the price he had to pay for Rafalka.
Oh, boy. I don't know.
See, Rafalka always gets people.
Yeah, that might be a matter of concern. My best to your kiddos and your wife and to our community and to you. I'm going to clear the decks for next caller.
Okay, thanks, Roger. Have yourself a good evening. I'm glad you called. Stay warm.
You too.
Bye now. Bye. Roger calling from Minnesota. And I'm largely in agreement with him. I know Hillary Clinton's a Goldwater girl. I know Hillary Clinton, for instance, in an email, in a Twitter exchange that Isaac and Sandra and I had, there was a clip from 1996 of Hillary trying to scare white people about hyper super predators, and hence she wasn't talking about white folks. This was back when they were creating the prison industrial complex. I know these things. But I balance that against the fact that I know we are an empire. We are a crumbling empire. And imperial administrators, well, this is a little bit like what I was talking about with the Republic and ancient Rome earlier this evening. The right wing is not the only one that does it. The left of our left, of which pretty much I'm one, it does it too. We yearn for some bygone progressive era that never really existed. It's like what I say about democracy and the people on both sides. Our democracy. Oh, that. I mean, I've gotten to where whenever I hear, and I don't care. I don't. You know what? If Bernie says it, I'll tune him out for a while too, because whenever I hear the phrase "our democracy," I know that whoever said it has not been paying attention to the history of this empire. And let's understand something else. This country has had imperial ambitions since July the 4th, 1776, and certainly from the beginning of the Andrew Jackson presidency. Let's put it that way. A part of the animus of the colonists against the British had absolutely nothing to do with tea taxes or stamp acts. It had a great deal more to do with the British Crown establishing agreements with the so-called five civilized tribes of the Southeast, saying, you know, we're going to go this far and no further colonization will be permitted. And the colonists said, oh, hell no, the hell you say, and it's Daniel Boone pressing through the Cumberland Gap into that dark and bloody ground known as Kentucky.
It's my forebears pressing across the Allegheny front into what becomes West Virginia. And from there, looking across the Ohio and going, well, goddamn, that looks a hell of a sight more flat and farmable than this. To hell with all them people living on it. This country has had empire in its DNA. Because it was born from the British Empire. But our side is equally guilty. Oh, I want a pony. Yeah, with its little unicorn horn spiked with a maraschino cherry. I mean, and it pisses the hilarians off something fierce when I say it. But I'm not bashful. I say, look, if I'm gonna support Bernie, if Bernie is not the nominee, I will walk into the voting booth in November with a clothespin on my nose, duct tape over my mouth, and a bag over my head, and I'll vote for Hillary. Because at the very least, this country has to have a competent imperial administrator. And there just haven't been that damn many left-wing empires in the history of this country. Plain and simple. In the chat room, Anatole says, if we ever really wanted democracy in this country, we would have had a parliamentary system starting in the 1800s. We would have had a parliamentary system in the Constitution, Anatole. But you must understand, and you can get it straight. You can get it straight. No chaser from Dr. Bill. The whole reason for the Constitutional Convention was because democracy was breaking out all over the place, and it had to be stopped. Plain and simple. Under the Articles of Confederation, states like Commonwealth of Pennsylvania were trying democracy. It was being tried in New Hampshire. It was being tried in Vermont. It was being tried in Massachusetts. And it was terrible for the money. And so, promising that they were just going to tweak a little and fix a little, Alexander Hamilton, James Madison, and that bunch called a constitutional convention and promptly said, well, we had our fingers crossed, threw the entire Articles of Confederation out the damn window and came up with a constitution that would be based upon a country that was a republic with no democracy anywhere in sight. And you can go to the goddamn Federalist Papers and read where they say, whatever we have will be democracy because we're going to call it democracy. Now, I suppose there are those among us, because God knows I've met them. One fellow said his most fervent ambition was the deindustrialization of America. You know, when we all just sit around eating rattlesnakes for dinner. Okay. That just means we're going to externalize it onto some other bunch of poor bastards. I guess there are those on the so-called left who want to see the empire collapse and crumble. Who don't give a damn if the roads are mud ruts. Who don't care if we never build another school. Who don't get particularly upset if bridges collapse into gorges or down onto the other highways below them. You know, I go into cities and you go over those great big looping clover leaf soaring damn engineering marvels in the sky, and I'm sitting there thinking, ain't a hell of a lot holding this up. This must take some maintenance. Well, there is a lot holding it up. What holds it up is the goodwill of all of us. The desire to continue to have something resembling constitutional governance. Yes, we have a fascism problem that is 8 miles wide and 50 miles deep. that you always have to be defending against. What's the price of freedom is eternal vigilance? Eternal vigilance is the price of freedom? Yeah. Am I what? Where'd that come from? Yeah, well, I saw it and it disappeared. Is Bob Kincaid throwing in the towel on the possibility of something? No, I'm not throwing in the towel on Bernie. I said I'm going to continue to support him. If Hillary is the nominee, however, I'm going to vote for her, and I'm not going to be ashamed of it. I'm going to be disappointed, but I'm not going to be ashamed. Because you know what? Let me tell you something. I got something figured out. She ain't Trump, and she ain't Cruz. Not by a long damn shot. Nowhere near it. Now, I don't know. There it is. Real Jingy asks, is Bob Kincaid throwing in the towel on the possibility of a Bernie Sanders presidency? Holding our collective nose is what got us here. No, the system we have is what got us here. You really? You'd have been ever so much happier for the past 3 years with President Romney? You'd have been happy for the past 7 with President McCain? Waiting with every goddamn ticking second for the other shoe to drop and finding out that suddenly we were going to have President Palin? That would have been better? There was no nose holding in 2008 for me, and there was no nose holding in 2012 either. Because I realize Jill Stein has great policy positions. Just like the marshals of France in Shakespeare's Henry V the night before Agincourt realized that the Dauphin had a magnificent horse. That's where that line comes from. It is a most admirable horse. But she wasn't going to be president. Nor will she be. Ralph Nader was never going to be president. So I'm supporting Bernie. And I'm going to say, and my primary doesn't come around until May. It may be all over by the shouting by then, but my happy ass is going into my primary voting booth, and I'm voting for Bernie. Okay? And there's nothing to be had by preserving one's political purity. And just saying, well, you know, the lesser of two evils is still evil. And I'll say this again, because apparently it needs to be said sometimes, perhaps more often than I do. Way back in 1968, a hateful, vile, putrid man by the name of George C. Wallace said of the Democrats and the Republicans, there's not a dime's worth of difference between them. And, oh, I want to tell you, the racists and the bigots and all over the country. I mean, he drew big crowds in Wisconsin and Michigan. I mean, they cheered. Oh, they cheered. And I'm not sure, but what maybe Strom Thurmond said the same damn thing in 1948 when he split off from the Democratic Party to run an independent candidacy for president because he couldn't tolerate the niggers getting in our good old white southern swimming pools. And who benefits? You know, the old Latin phrase, cui bono. Who benefits? Who benefits when we fall for things like there's not a dime's worth of difference? Who benefits? And maybe it was Strom Thurmond, and I know damn good and well it was George C. Wallace in 1968. And then there we were in 2000, and there was Ralph Nader saying the same thing. Well, there's no difference between the Democrats and Republicans. Oh, hello, 9/11. Still feel that way, Ralph? Which is not to say Ralph doesn't have policy positions that I don't share. Because I do. I'd like to see this country reworked wholesale. But it's got to be reworked retail first. Asa says, you say she ain't Trump and she ain't Cruz like it's a feature, Bob. Well, I'll let you make that decision for yourself. Shortly after Barack Obama's speech on firearms today, and it wasn't really a speech on firearms, it was a speech on trying to curtail the slaughter of our beloved children. Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American. Sent out a fundraiser. And it shows Barack Obama in police riot gear. You know, the zip-up vest, the modified coal scuttle helmet that we use now. Obama wants your guns. Support the protection of your Second Amendment rights. Today we have government of the lobbyists, by the lobbyists, and for the lobbyists. Now the long knives are coming out because I dared to tell you and the rest of America the truth and expose what was really happening behind closed doors in Washington. Yeah. Yeah, he did. He went there. The long knives. We know what that is, right? The night of the long knives. So, you know, go ahead. Go ahead, stay home. Don't vote for Hillary. You are gonna love President Cruz. Nah, not so much. No. He's overtaken Trump in Iowa. And he sound, and see, as compared to Donald Trump, who sounds like a fourth grader, Ted Cruz sounds like what an idiot thinks a smart person sounds like. Sure. Let's check this out for a minute. This might be kind of fun.
I've got a pen and I've got a pen. I can use that pen to sign executive orders.
Yes, you're right. The music is a cheesy knockoff of the Star Wars themes. Because the machine-like voice there was Barack Obama as Darth Vader. It is a dark time for the Republic. A deceptive and radical donkey has seized the Capitol and shredded the Constitution. A powerful rebel warrior must arise to unite the elephants and save the nation. You got that? Barack Obama has shredded the Constitution. Where? When? Show me. No, I'm sorry. You can't holler birth certificate. I want to know where the Constitution's been shredded, because, you know, from this Ted Cruz ad, the Constitution strikes back. Yeah. And yes, it shows Ted Cruz riding an elephant and holding the Constitution in his hand, which then turns into a lightsaber. It's a cheesily animated Ted Cruz at that. Now, this thing was put together by a guy named Joel Gilbert. This is the guy who said that Barack Obama wears a secret Muslim wedding ring. Said that Barack Obama was the mastermind of the Aurora movie theater shooting, and says that the president, that his father isn't really his father, and that his father was really a guy named Frank Marshall Davis. That Ted Cruz. That Ted Cruz. Roger has issues with the way I refer to my Bernie support. He says, minimize mention of hilarity and just say something like, I'll vote for Bernie as long as I can. Meaning for as long as he's on your ballot. Well, okay, I can do that. But by the same token, I want to make clear that I'm voting for Hillary if she's the nominee. I'm not one of these people that uses that hashtag Bernie or bust. I don't even think Bernie would advocate doing that. Because see, I'm fresh out of grandmothers. Well, not really. I mean, Agnes is a grandmother now, but we're not drawing Social Security or anything. I'm fresh out of granddads. Yesterday would have been the 122nd birthday of my grandfather Kincaid. But I know that there's lots of them out there. And the vast majority of them in this country need their Social Security. And I know I, by God, need what medical coverage I've had. I have. I need roads that aren't gravel. I need to do something about climate change. Everybody says, oh, got to vote for whoever the Democrat is because Supreme Court. It's a valid argument, assuming there's a Senate through which one can get a Supreme Court nominee. But the fact of the matter is, you need a veto pen. And you know what? If Hillary Clinton was to sign on to something like a grand bargain over Social Security or Medicare, they wouldn't be no second Hillary term. So, you know, based on what Roger in Minnesota said, and based on that tweet, no, I'm not throwing in the towel. But I'm way too grown up to stamp my foot and demand my unicorn sparkle pony with the whipped cream horn and the spiked maraschino cherry. And as we head out the door, yeah, I'm pretty confident in saying that the Republican presidential candidate who will go and pander
with the seditious gang in Oregon. And by the way, I've had follow-up. There may or may not be children there at the compound in Oregon. Carol did a little research. She said, I don't think they have kids in the bird sanctuary. I can't find a credible source for that story. If one of the Hornanistas can direct me to one, I'd appreciate it. Yeah. I hope they're not. That's not to say that I think there's any morality or decency involved in those seditious punks. But maybe. I mean, really, who would have children in a place like that? There's no heat. There's barely any sort of anything. I mean, Jesus Christ, the one person who got through saw cans of Campbell's tomato soup and bricks of ramen. You can't run a revolution on 25-cent wiggling pig ramen. Yeah. Well, I got a feeling prayer meeting Wednesday is going to be pretty damn busy, too. Because, well, and hey, look, it's a man of God. That'll definitely hold till prayer meeting Wednesday. Let's see what Jim in Nevada Stan's got on his mind. Hey, Jim. Wrong button.
Shit behind.
What's happening?
Yeah, I'm right behind you in that. I mean, I'm no fan of Hillary Clinton at all, but if she gets the, even if she overtly steals it, unless it really pisses me off, I'd have to go with her over any Republican. Because Republicans, it totally whack. I mean, it's just like, I mean, like you mentioned, you know how I did it in 2000 when I voted for the Green Party candidate over I can't think of his name, Gore. And he's kind of a protest vote, but I was stupidly thinking that there was no way the country was that ignorant that it would elect a Bush. And plus, it was just like also the irony of, don't y'all see a pattern here? And then we got a third Bush trying. Does this look what this looks like? The monarchy instead of, you know. And this is it's the same problem I had with Hillary, but I'll take Hillary over any Republican. I mean, they're totally whack. Do you find a lot of people? I do. There's a lot of people on the internet. Not a lot of stuff.
There's a lot of really like obnoxious. I mean, it's almost as though the people, a lot of the people I'm seeing on Facebook, it's almost as though they're trying to be so obnoxious and in your face about Hillary that you'd almost swear they were agent provocateur, trying to get people to go in the other direction. I just try to ignore them or unfriend them or whatever. Times like this do allow you to clean out your friendship stash.
Yeah, it's it really is no option at all to which candidate there, you know, I mean, Hillary versus, you know, plus the Supreme Court, although that's, you know, well, I don't know. it's disparaging if she gets, and you know, the odds are she probably still will. I mean, they could do what they did in 2000, steal it from whoever the Democratic nominee is, or
that's always a possibility. And the only way they can't steal it is if it's too big a thumping to steal. Now, to be fair, Hillary's plus 50% unfavorability rating scares the hell out of me.
Yeah, that does too. And saying, well, with Bernie, I'm a big supporter. He was a Democrat socialist. That's definitely a plus. Where there's a certain segment of the population, because, you know, that might scare. And it could be easily maneuvered to vote for whatever Republican they, you know, decide to nominate. You know. And, you know, because America,
Yeah, right. And I've got a note for you from Stockton Larry in the chat room. He says, tell Jim that I talked to a Bernie campaigner today, and he urged registering online with the Nevada Secretary of State rather than waiting until caucus day.
Okay.
So you might want to make sure you get after that.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah. Well, I was thinking about that. You got to do everything. You don't know what kind of landmines to try and put out there to cut it down. And I say the DNC, who I really, you know, I mean, if it weren't for Bernie, I'd still have to vote for him. I mean, like I said, I mean, I couldn't vote for him. And the Green Party.
Well, you know, here's what worries me. I'm not nearly as worried about Bernie voters not voting for Hillary if she's the nominee as I am about Hillary voters not voting for Bernie.
Yeah, there's a certain mean streak down their spine because they've kind of got this. It's our turn. It's like, oh, we got to have a woman president now. I'm more concerned. I don't care about their sex or the sexuality or anything about that. I care about what their policies are and what I can expect out of them. I expect a lot more for we the people out of Bernie than Hillary or any freaking Republican, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just putting a stamp on what you're saying.
I appreciate it, Jim. I do. You have yourself a good evening.
All right.
Later. Glad Jim's got my back. Devin asked the question, how am I supposed to vote for someone who has committed genocide? I didn't know Adolf Hitler was on the ballot. That's 8:56 p.m., 8:56 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Damn it, Gerald! I suppose that's a reference to Hillary. And Devin, insofar as you're in West Virginia, it probably doesn't matter. Because more people are going to vote for Trump than vote for Hillary and Bernie combined. And it'll probably be a stomping in November here, too. Devin, yeah, the Iraq war vote, sure. You know, she says it was a mistake. I'd like to hear her actively apologize for it. But then again, I'd like to hear everybody who voted for that bloodletting, that miserable, illegal assault on peaceful civilians apologize for it. Not say it was a mistake, but apologize for it. You know, but I don't think we're going to get her to crawl on her knees up to the altar of the National Cathedral like Henry II had to and you know, take a flogging like Henry II had to after the killing of Thomas à Becket. I just don't think that's going to happen. But if you want a genocide, well, now, Raphaelito or T-Rump or Rubio or God knows Carly, who seems to actively want a war with the Soviets. Now those are your folks. So just saying. Let's see. It's time to roll out of here. Thanks to everybody who helped us get out of the hole this evening. Thank you, Carol Baker. Thank you, Tracy, for the challenge. Tracy says, keep on pushing. We'll do. We will begin the program tomorrow evening with, ciphering at the end of the program. Yeah, about 320 for tomorrow's fundraising goal. Thank you very kindly, one and all. Have a wonderful evening. And it really is time to get out of here. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you to John Fox, Ben Birch. Thanks to the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, the hardest working, bravest people I know. And yes, always, always, always. Gina. It's all for you.